I've been all across this country.
Okie dokie, folks, and welcome to this week's edition of Monday Night Shaw. On the show this week, I have one of the authority figures here in Alberta wrestling. That's Ref Ben. Ref Ben has refereed for many different promotions in Alberta. Lakeland Pro, RCW, Monster Pro, Force, Clandestine Society, all kinds of stuff. Ben has been around the block as a referee. He's one of my favorite referees for sure. And I just wanted to welcome you to the show, Ben. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much, Kyle. That's so awesome to have you interview me. We've been talking about this for a couple of years now, trying to set up a time where we could actually talk and do an interview. So I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, no, I mean, I remember I had you on for the, we did an Alberta Mania to drunken, you know, greened out.
Oh boy, yeah.
Yeah, but it was a good time. It was a great time.
That was fun. Yeah, I love talking about like dream bookings. I mean, I think anybody in the business does, but that was fun.
And it's cool because, you know, it's the sort of thing we can do once a year, and the landscape seems to have changed enough every year that it still makes sense to do it.
Yeah, totally. I mean, the card that I booked from last year makes no sense, considering who works where and who does what and what their character alignment is. Oh, geez.
Yeah, like a lot can change in a year for sure. That includes for you yourself. How many different referee or wrestling federations have you worked for in the last year?
Well, since COVID kind of took over the world, I haven't been able to do too much because really there hasn't been anything running other than RCW. Monster Pro did a couple things as well. I know Saskatoon and Regina are pretty much shut down. Most of BC is shut down. I'm sure Thrash ran a show or Big West did during these summer months, but there hasn't really been much going on. January 2020, I started out with Force Pro Wrestling in Edmonton with a big career change over to Force to work with some of the new people there, and that was awesome. Well, it lasted, but then wrestling shut down, man. Everything shut down. So sad.
Yeah, and then you kind of you joined over to RCW.
Yes, that's true. Actually, just to even add in there, I was doing some trips out to Saskatoon for Prairie Pro Wrestling in the early months of 2020 before everything locked down, and that was some of the best wrestling I've worked on in recent history. It's been really great working out there in Saskatoon with those people. But yeah, RCW, that's my new Edmonton location where I'm able to work when restrictions are low and shows are a go. It's kind of the place in Edmonton for me to be working right now.
Yeah. And I mean, like I say, you're always a benefit to the show for sure.
Thanks, Kyle.
Yeah, no problem. What do you like? Cause I know like by a lot of people's standards, like there's different standards of referees, right? Like I know that when I refereed, and you know, I'm not a great referee by any
means. Kyle, when did you referee?
The first time I ever refereed, I was ring announcing a show in Calgary. And after the second match, Squig came up to me in a panic and said, "Kyle, one of my referees got angry and fucked off. I need somebody to referee." And I was like, "Well, I've never refereed before, but I'll give it a go if you're that desperate." And he was like, "Yes, I am." And so I went out to the merch table. I grabbed an RCW t-shirt and I went upstairs and they were like, "Yeah, it's going to be very straightforward. You've watched wrestling before." And that night I ended up refereeing a couple of matches. And
oh, geez.
I think the first ever match was between Angelica and the Killer Bee.
Oh, sure. Okay. But I like both of them.
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure that was the first match I ever reffed. And then I reffed a couple of other shows after that because I guess they were – I mean, at the time, people were like, "Wow, you're a better referee than you are a ring announcer."
You're like, what?
It's a weird compliment whenever anyone says that you're a better this than you are that, you know, because
you're like, thank you, backhanded compliment. But yeah, thank you. I'll take it.
I get you're a way better ring announcer than you are wrestler. Like, I get that one a lot. And it's like, well, thank you. But, yeah. And no, I do appreciate it. Not like I honestly would agree that I'm a better ring announcer than a wrestler. But that's just because I have more experience and skill at doing that, you know?
Well, of course, you have...
There's way less of, like, competition going on as well, but...
Absolutely, especially in, like, the Alberta scene, a couple promotions share ring announcers, like, through Force and PWA, and Monster Pros changing ring announcers about every year. So I know Jimmy Zero, a good friend of mine, used to ring announce out there. He just stepped away for a little bit from the business, and it's hard to have a consistent ring announcer in some territories, but Kyle, like, that's one thing I really have loved about your work is that you've been really consistent with RCW and filling in wherever you need to as well. But, like, your work has always been really great. I really loved, having you calling, entrances when I go to shows. I love it.
Yeah, it's wonderful. But, like, there's a couple of reasons why I prefer wrestling over ring announcing, for sure.
Oh, sure.
But I do still enjoy ring announcing. When I was, like, injured a little while ago, I ended up returning to the ring announcing role just temporarily while I was, you know, physically not...
Oh, dealing with that leg injury.
Yeah, I had, like, a groin thing going on, and it was really, like, worrisome, right? So...
Right.
I ended up taking a few weeks off and I would just ring announce, but I had a ton of fun ring announcing and, you know, it kind of felt like really good because like some guys were like, wow, you did a great job. And, you know, Sweet Daddy Soul said, he was like, oh, Kyle, you're probably one of the best ring announcers in all of Canada. And I was like, well, I appreciate it. You know, like,
thank you.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm not here to just brag about all the nice things that people have said about me.
No, I get it, Kyle.
But like, originally he did say, he started the conversation by being, you're a better ring announcer than you are a wrestler. It's like, oh, well, thank you.
He's like, okay.
Yeah, just like, you know, nobody's coming to these shows to watch the ring announcers, you know?
Yo, fair enough. And I mean, in a lot of ways, that's kind of how I feel about refereeing too. Like, as important as it is to your event and to your show, into your match, like, people are coming there to see the talent, and by the talent I mean the wrestlers, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think anybody's bought a WWE ticket to watch Mike Chioda.
No. I mean, don't get me wrong, Mike Chioda's a fantastic referee, and like,
yes,
but I don't have any like great Mike Chioda memories. But I think that's part of like what makes you a good referee is like you're not taking away from the action. Like, if I have a memory of the referee, it's a memory of the referee, and it's like, okay, maybe I have memories of like specifically like Earl Hebner, right?
Oh, totally. Like,
who's going to not remember that Earl Hebner was involved in the Montreal thing, right? But
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So just going along those lines, have you ever had the inclination to like don the tights and train to wrestle?
I would love to do that one day. It is a career goal of mine to I don't want to be a wrestler full time ever. I don't think that's not really my goal in the business. Like, I really would like to be a referee for my career. And it's been like that for a while. Like, I got into the business when I broke in Monster Pro back in 2016. Like, I came to them being like, I want to be a ref. And like, people are kind of confused by that, especially trainers, because they're like, well, like, usually refs are, guys training or certain situations like that. But for me, I really just wanted to ref, like, and I've wanted that for a while. Mm-hmm. So one day, yes, I would love to get in the ring. There's a couple of my friends and, quite frankly, enemies in this business that I would love to work with one day. But I really need I'd love to just get more time in for training with this whole year of lockdowns. It's been really hard to get the training you need.
Yeah.
If in certain times, certain settings. So it's just like when the right time dawns, absolutely. I would love to do a match.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of how it starts. Like, even for me, when I first got into it, I was like, I just want to do one match. And then I did it. And I was like, now I want to do a good match. And then I ended up like doing that, and I was like, oh, now I want to do more of these good ones.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was just, yeah, so like that's kind of how it always starts for you, you know?
Of course. And I mean, like, there's referees that I know of who have broken in that way. I know Maxton Flexwell used to referee for PWA before he broke in.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Richie Rage used to be in PWA, used to be a referee, and growing up as a kid, I used to watch him and the Fitz were kind of like the live guys that I always like, oh, that's a referee, I know him.
Is Richie Ray, is he the fellow that kind of looks like a short version of Steve Blackman?
I don't know.
Did he give me a jackhammer at the clandestine?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, all right.
Yes, he did.
I know who we're talking about then.
Yeah. Yeah,
no, I did not know he was a referee before that. But
yeah, he was a great referee. Actually,
well, he's a pretty talented wrestler just from the like the clandestine show and like some training sessions he came and took part in. Like, he's very athletic.
Oh yeah, I mean, I don't know too much about his wrestling career, to be honest. Like when he was wrestling, I wasn't watching live indie wrestling all that much at the time. But I have seen him wrestle, and he is quite good. And I don't know where he trained or anything, but it's just a good example of somebody who can transition through the business, right?
Yeah.
You're a good example of that too, honestly, Kyle, like from going from ring announcing to wrestling. Like, it's, I think, a common thing. I think everybody who works in this business really gets like the itch one day to work a match. And then it's just kind of, if you're suited for that environment, like, I don't know how I would love like taking bumps every weekend, but yeah, like, I love being involved.
You kind of have to become comfortable with the fact there's a lot of hard work involved.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And yes, but like, it's worth it. So with the topic of clandestine coming up a couple of times, last year at the Clandestine Society show, you were the referee for the dildo on a pole match.
Yeah, I knew this was coming. Yeah, I definitely was.
How did that all come about, and how, like, what are your feelings on the match?
Okay, well, it is definitely, like, I've watched it back a couple times now. And at first, when, after I did it, like, in the moment, it was all for fun. No issues, no hard feelings, but I thought it was really quite funny. Like, the night before, actually, I was in, Prairie Pro Wrestling, and I was, backstage, and I heard, Mike McSugar was talking to somebody about, and he pulled out the giant dildo, and he was like, hey, so who's the poor ref who is going to have to referee this dildo on a pole match? And then the guy's like, well, actually, turn around, bro. And I was like, oh, hey, nice to meet you, Mike. Like, I'm the guy who's going to be working with your dildo tomorrow. And then he laughed, and we had a good talk about it. But even that match, like, just how much effort him and Dylan Stone put into structuring that match, and like all the crazy bullshit that happened. Like, it's one of the funniest matches I've ever been a part of. And I didn't feel like I was in the position to say no to any of the spots, to be honest. I was new with a lot of those workers. I mean, I'd refereed Dylan Stone and Mike McSugar before, but just being in that environment, it didn't seem like clandestine's not the environment to say no in, right? So
for sure,
I figured I had to go with the spot.
Like, is there anything, like, given a different environment, you would have said no to, or...
Well, yes. I don't know.
Obviously, you wouldn't have done a dildo match on a children's, like, a family show.
No, of course not. But honestly, I just felt like for the everything that happened in that match, for it to truly be funny and get over, I think I had to play the straight man role. And that's not like a sexuality reference. That's like a comedy reference to being like, when you have these extreme characters and then you have the one man who's like, oh, nothing's funny. And all the jokes are kind of like bounced off of this person. That's kind of what I had to do in that match a lot of the times, is like all these ridiculous drop toe holds. He's about to eat the dick, and then I'm like reffing it like it's like a straight UFC shoot. It's like, there's just some humor in that that I absolutely loved.
Yeah.
I didn't love taking the dildo to the face, but... I hear from a lot of people that was the highlight of the match for them. So I guess if I have some kind of lasting memory with the fans, I'm happy. So I wouldn't take it back.
No?
No.
I'm glad you had a lot of fun doing it. The next clandestine thing is kind of up in the air, but you are set to be involved in that?
Yes, I am. I did get the private invite over social media to be involved refereeing with the events, and I'm really quite happy about it. The events bring in such good talent to work with. You get such interesting pairings. Like, you just don't typically get matches that are in this area of Canada, in Alberta, that get to share the talent from every promotion in the area, whether that be from the PWA, Real Canadian Wrestling, Monster Pro, Pure Power Wrestling, CWC when it was active. Just having all of these guys working together in some kind of an atmosphere, I just think it strengthens the business. It's something I wish that we saw more of in this industry, is matchups that never happen on a regular basis. Yeah. Like, and that's what I love about Real Canadian Wrestling when they do all of the out-of-town spots shows. Is you get like a good blend of talent who aren't, you don't typically see on the RCW regular programming.
100%.
So it's just a nice experience as a fan and a worker to be working with new people all the time.
Yeah, and I think it's good because it's like, you know, it's put on by some of, it's like put on by the wrestlers.
And yes.
Like almost for the wrestlers. But, you know, we want other people to enjoy it as well. But it's like, it's put on by the wrestlers. So it's like, I know that like maybe there was some animosity for the first one. I've admitted to that in the past of, you know, it wasn't exactly like Squigs didn't really want me to do it. Right.
Oh, sure. Okay.
And
that's fair. I can understand like the issues of being booked for one promotion and not the other. I mean, you could talk to me about that all day and
yeah,
my thoughts on that, but I'm not trying to get into a very deep thing.
I just like, I've told the story about like when I had to punch Tex and whatnot, and I was like, okay, the harder I punch him, the less likely it is Squig will fire me. Right.
Right.
But it's also like you say, like it was seen by thousands of people. Like
totally.
On YouTube, there was thousands of views. It got posted up on, like, torrent websites. Like, there was a mass amount of exposure. And, like, I felt like I was representing, like, RCW.
And, you know, in a sense, that's kind of how I felt refereeing the event. I had left Monster Pro Wrestling basically, like, the week of the clandestine show. Like, it was back-to-back weekends, so I did my last stint at the end of December in 2019 with Monster Pro, and I felt like I had plans of moving to Force Pro, and I was upfront and everything with Massive about it. Like everything worked out well. We have a good relationship still, but I felt that it was respectful for how things are with Monster Pro to do my duties properly, kind of exit and then start fresh. But yeah. Clandestine was this neat little foreground in between my start with Force and my end with Monster Pro. So being there, I always felt that, like, along with Chris Parrish, who had been tenured in Monster Pro Wrestling, I mean, he had left since at the time, but I felt like him and I definitely represented that brand of Edmonton wrestling in the event. So I was really honored to be there because I really hadn't done much work with any of the PWA roster prior to that, other than from some Prairie Pro Wrestling in Saskatoon.
And I mean, I wasn't the only RCW guy on that show.
No.
There was a couple of others. I didn't feel like bad about doing it because I felt like I was there, like, you know, as a representative of RCW, and like people that watch the show, if they find out like, oh, this guy Canadian Goose who was in the Battle Royal or whatever wrestles for RCW, maybe they'll come and express more interest in our show, you know.
Totally.
So like, that's why I didn't feel bad, and like why when I found out they were doing a second one, I wanted to be involved, was so I could like repeat that, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I was thrilled to hear that they announced the second one, because it was like in a lot of ways, that event in 2019 was probably my favorite overall event. So this was the just hearing that there was going to be a second one, it was like a highlight to what 2020 could be, right?
Yeah.
Like with such a limited amount of shows going on that year, like it would be really nice to run a clan. I mean, with current situations in the city, who knows? But like running a second clan is just another great opportunity to work with new guys.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to happen sooner or later.
Absolutely. And I know it's coming.
I'm just stoked to be a part of it.
Me too.
I'm very stoked to still like be a part of RCW though as well. Like weekly shows, like it was like, I mean, they've just recently had to stop because the restrictions have been tightened up to the point where we're just not allowed to run shows.
Yes.
And it's a real bummer because like even up until like this, like when it's these restrictions went into place, like we were literally doing like shows every Friday in Calgary. Yep. And every Saturday in Edmonton. And then if the Edmonton show wasn't to go, they usually tried to line up another one. Cause I know there was like once a month, there was a craft fair or something. So we couldn't.
Yes.
Yeah. But like, it's just, that's been cool. And I mean, we've done like all those little out of town shows, Panoka and Radway and.
Oh, I love the Radway shows.
Yeah.
I don't miss those ones.
No, the Radway shows are usually like all the RCW shows are good. And what I like about some of those smaller town shows is just the number of children that are in the crowd.
Usually. Absolutely.
Like Calgary is a very adult crowd.
See, I've never worked in Calgary before. I've worked pretty much all over the province, but I've never been to Calgary.
I mean, there is kids there. Like,
oh, sure.
But there's maybe like four kids and everybody else is, you know, a bunch of drunk college students or like older people that are just there to have a good time and watch some good old wrestling, right? Like,
yeah, so, yeah. The long-term fans there.
Yeah. It's not a lot of like children, and like Edmonton, there's more children, but it again is still more of a hardcore, like, you know, the fans.
Absolutely,
that are,
yes,
coming are like diehard people and you're seeing them every week. So then when you do come and you get to be in front of a bunch of children that don't get to see wrestling all the time, they're so into it.
Yes. And I think that's what makes those Radway houses so exciting, right? Is kids react to wrestling different than adults do. It doesn't matter if you're doing hardcore stuff or if you're doing like straight up regular singles action, like,
yeah,
really, like kids react to wrestling just differently than adults do. So I think having more kids in the audience just like creates a better atmosphere for the performers, right? Like,
yeah. And it's not only just Radway, but like Gibbons, Boyle, where me and,
yep,
me and Dead Zone won the tag belts in front,
oh,
of,
yeah,
all those
I
kids.
Oh yeah, I ref that match.
Oh yeah, and like earlier in the day we had these like children's like there was an assembly, school assembly, and they had the wrestlers all talk about like don't do drugs and don't be a bully and stuff. And so like when I did my speech at the assembly, I got them all to do the honking. This was earlier on before the show even started, right? So, and I mean the kids that were older, they didn't care, but all the kids in the first assembly that were like, you know, grade four maximum, they all,
right,
honked, and then they all showed up at the show and they loved it.
Really?
Great. Oh yeah,
that actually explains why those fans, they really loved you and Barricade at that show. I mean, like, what's not to love?
Or it was,
but
me,
it was,
it was
like
me and Dead Zone
fan.
Barricade was
oh sorry
the other team.
Right. Oh geez,
but me and Barricade
up.
are teaming up now because like,
yes,
apparently me and Barricade are like, we have a thing in common where we like to team up with people that are not necessarily fine human beings.
Yeah, I guess you have some, well, I mean, I've heard from, do you know the Two Big Tams podcast?
Yeah.
So I know for a fact watching that Dean Richter is a bum. So
that's,
I can understand where Barricade would feel the same way.
The consensus amongst hams is that Dean Richter is a bum.
Well, and I mean, with you and you and Dead Zone, I mean, you had a great tag team. You came back from Saturday Night Fights for starting up in Edmonton here, and then he betrayed you.
Yeah.
Sad.
That said, when Dean Richter is dropping me with the car wreck, he doesn't feel very. He feels like an asshole, but not maybe a bum. You know.
Yeah. True.
I
oh, geez,
don't hold too many victories over Dean Richter, but on that night we did. Anyway, back to refereeing. There's a,
yes,
number of other referees in Alberta and whatnot. Who's been the most like helpful to you on just like giving you tips about how to referee and stuff?
Oh, geez. Okay, well, Kevin Lauren from Monster Pro Wrestling and now Real Canadian Wrestling, he was my first trainer in refereeing. So I met Kevin through his son, who I was was at a party and we were watching Hell in a Cell 1998, like the Mick Foley one.
Nice.
And this guy came over and we're like, who are you? And he's like, oh, hey, my name's blah, blah, blah. Met him. And he's like, oh, you're watching wrestling. I'm like, yeah, like expecting him to like try and make fun of us for it or something. And he's like, oh, my dad's a referee. And I was like, no way. Like, who's your dad? And like, and at the time I had only really known of PWA. So I'm thinking, okay, so it's going to be like Fitz or it's going to be Richie somehow. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't understand who this guy could be. He's like, oh, my dad's the head referee at Monster Pro Wrestling. And I was like, oh, this is great. Okay. Like, I'll have to come check out the training school. And this is back when they were at Gold's Gym.
Okay.
In Westmount Mall. And that was a great facility. And I went and saw the setup. He showed me how everything kind of works. I got to be in the ring for the first time. And like, that's just like, as a fan at the time, that was like life changing. Like, oh my God, this is real. Like, I can't believe I'm like actually here. I've always wanted to do this. But Kevin was the one who gave me the most training and hands-on experience in the early stages.
Yeah.
So he probably trained me for, I want to say 3, maybe 4 months before, no, 2 months before I got in the ring for a show. And then he was trying to hire some people because he was working out of town a lot. So he wanted some consistent referees to be in the territory. So he was gone a lot. So I got put in basically a head referee position role for a long time in the early stages of my career, which seems kind of backwards to some, but there just wasn't any real referee guidance there. So a lot of my training after that came from Massive Damage and from Chris Parrish and from Loble out in out east.
Okay.
And a little bit of training from Irishman and Son of Irish, because they were heavy into the training at the time. So they gave me the most hands-on experience after Kevin, and a lot of that learning came from shows.
Okay.
I was around training a lot of the time and at the Monster Pro Wrestling Training Center 2-3 times a week for a good 2 years before I started going a little less, just to kind of absorb it, because I think the more you're around it, the more you you kind of understand.
Can I just ask you a question? Like, I'm kind of wondering, like, what does referee training consist of? How does that differ from wrestling training?
So basically, you're not learning bumps. You're still learning to move around the ring. You're still have, like, I still did rolls. I still learned how to do all the basic bumps in the early days. Granted, I haven't practiced them nearly as much as I should, to be honest. But a lot of it is basically watching sparring matches that happen at the end of training. So there would be usually I'd catch two guys who are at the end of their training just before they're going to pack up and say, hey, can I get like one rep in? Can I like referee a quick match? And usually they'd be like, oh, yeah, sure. We want to go over our stuff one more time before we leave. Or, oh, we want to work on this drill. And they would just run the most basic stuff, just basically doing spots and pins.
Yeah.
And it just teaches me my timing, because some people you learn very quickly in your promotion kick out earlier than others, or are slower or not as visibly working to kick out of their pins. So you don't see it, and you just have to learn to be in position. Biggest note I got once was my first match. He's like, oh, you did a great job with your counts, but like you weren't ever at my shoulders. And it's like, well, that makes perfect sense. Like, if you think of it from a shoot position, like, why are you even making counts if you're not looking at their shoulders?
Yeah.
So it's just like these little basics that the repetition comes with. And that was where I did a lot of just reps at the training center. Hey, Chris Parrish, hey, Irishman, are you working on this drill? Hey, can I like referee it? And they would just like work in like cheap little like heel spots and chokes on the ropes and corner punches. And if I wasn't on them, they would like stop and be like, okay, well, you've watched wrestling. You understand there's a 5 count here. Be
yeah.
quicker, but be concise and let us like get our moment through and don't ruin it by counting too fast or too slow.
Yeah.
It's just little basics that you have to really be in the ring to learn. And a lot of people learn on the fly, I think, as a referee. I think they kind of like Charles is a good example.
Yeah.
I don't know if he had any real formal referee training prior to his first match.
I don't think so.
And quite frankly, I think he's one of the best refs in the city.
Yeah.
So he has learned all of his experience from being in the ring. So I think you can learn two different ways. I know Kevin, if you ever talk to him through interviews, he'll tell you that he trained to be a wrestler as well.
Yeah.
So he went through all of the the wrestling training before being a wrestler. So he like he's wrestled Steve Rivers. He's undefeated, actually, beat him by count out.
Oh.
Yeah. So there's a lot of guys learn differently, but I would say from my experience and from my little bit of training that I've done with Monster Pro for some referees, is getting in the ring, trying to be at practice as much as possible, even if you're not getting in the ring, while they're doing their roles and drills and whatever they have to do. You watching, you witnessing, seeing how people interact, learning how to, like, communicate with etiquette in the business and, like, how to just positioning. You'll see as they're moving around. It's like, well, if you're standing on the right side of this heel, you're going to see the choke. So you might not be blowing the spot, but you're taking away your legitimacy as a ref. So people don't buy into you, so they boo you, and you wonder why you're getting booed. It's like you learn all these skills by being in the ring consistently.
Yeah, for sure. Then, I mean, that's just like wrestling. Like, you have to, you know, keep at it in order to stay good.
Yes. Now, there's no real, like, handbook of rules, at least that I've come across.
Okay, that's an interesting topic for sure.
Yes, there's no real, like, actual book that's like, this is how it goes. I learned all my stuff from watching WWE over the years and just kind of seeing positioning. I didn't take very long for me to figure out, oh, don't put yourself on the hard cam side of the camera or you're gonna like block everything that's happening. If you watch old Stampede, that's like half of the problem with the product, is it's like the referee's in the way for everything. It's little things like that that I learned watching, that I think lots of people who aren't huge wrestling marks going into the business as a worker, they need extra guidance. So I was fortunate enough to have 20 years of watching wrestling under my belt, where I know James from Monster Pro currently. I don't think he really was a wrestling fan prior to getting into refereeing. So a lot of these things, it's like he didn't know, oh, like you gotta, these are close fist punches. These are not allowed because from a shoot style, striking isn't really allowed in pro wrestling, like especially to the face, unless it's guarded.
And I mean, there is little things like that, like that just like you may not pick up on. I know that one of the things I was given the Iggy on when I was refereeing was, Your cadence when you're counting somebody out of the ring and then your cadence when somebody's getting choked, it shouldn't be the same, right? Like,
no.
If somebody's outside the ring, you can afford to be like, one,
two.
Come on, get him back in here. Like, but when you're somebody's being choked and like they're gonna die if you don't break this chokehold, it's gotta be more like one, two, three, come on, get them off, or you know.
Yes. Like, and that's something that I try to, when I'm doing any coaching or giving advice, like I, as a referee, I'm pretty green all considering. Like, I've only been refereeing since early 2016. So I've only really been in the business coming up on my fifth year. But I also have, I would say, out of, obviously, other than like Fitz and Kev, who like did CNWA, and Ian, who's been all over the place, Ian Smalls. Mm-hmm. Like, I would say I'm the most traveled referee. Like, maybe not. Like, RCW does so many shows, and I haven't been full-time with them till just recently. But I know, like, Charles has done a million shows, but I've been to a million promotions, so I've seen a lot of people and a lot of different experiences.
I think that's good, because, like I say, there is different crowds for different areas, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And so, like, working in front of all the children is different than working in front of like the hardcore wrestling fans. Like, the show requires a different style of wrestling.
Yes, absolutely. And like tying that back in the training, I mean, depending on where you learn from, you're going to have different things that you're good at as a referee. So like training with Monster Pro, I learned a lot of basics and a lot of old school mentality in psychology setting. That I think put me ahead of the game compared to some referees, because I learned a lot of like shoot aspects of being like, okay, well, like check for this choke, because like this is technically an illegal choke in wrestling. It's like, you're not just putting your hands there to look busy in the ring. Like, every movement you do is because it's leading to something. Like, you're supposed to be a true shoot official referee, right? If you watch the UFC, they're not just like putting their hands and saying stuff for the sake of putting their hands there and saying stuff.
You don't want to ruin the story.
Yes. And I think that's where a lot of referees in the early stages get kind of misled, and they really want to be a part of the show and like make a big moment and like be really visible. And like, I totally respect that. I think everybody should be like, appreciated in the show. But
yeah.
It's knowing the time and place. Like, I try and pride myself on not really being in the way. A lot of times when I'm working with people, they say, like, oh, well, I barely even noticed that you were there. And I do take that as a compliment, because it means that, like, I'm not getting in the way of their runs on the ropes, or I'm not, like, blowing spots, or, like, getting in the way and, like, making this corner choke spot about me by screaming at him at full voice and backing him up and, oh, I'm the law. It's like, well, like, within reason, like, basic control. Mm-hmm. And I think you learn that, again, with working with more people and getting more knowledge in this business.
Yeah, for sure. I'd want to double back there and talk about, you were also the referee for another on the pole match.
Oh, yes.
This was the one between Steven and myself. And
oh, boy.
What are your thoughts on that match and how that all was, like, brought up to you and how it went down?
Okay, well, I'm going to be honest. I did request to referee it because I said, like, I'm the master of the on-the-pole match refereeing. So I felt like I had to. Like, it was part of my job, because I did that dildo on a pole match earlier the year before. You know what? Like, I think the idea was fine. Because I think it totally fit the storyline that you and Steven Styles had with your feud. Granted, I don't think it should have been as early as it was on the card, for the simple fact that it greased up the ring so bad that everybody was slipping on the ring afterwards. So, it's not your fault, Kyle, but it probably wasn't going to be a 5-star match. So no. It being the main event is... been the main event,
no,
but it's the only logical spot for that to happen, because especially with, like, the type of canvas that RCW has is more of that, I don't even know what to call it. It's not like a cloth canvas. Like, it's like more of like a plasticky canvas. So when it's wet, you slip all over the place. I made the mistake of not bringing my ref shoes to a spot show by accident, and I had to do them in, like, black skater shoes, and I, like, had no traction in that ring.
I did.
So with
I
the
did
burger
hear
grease,
about some people getting, like, hurt, and I felt bad about it. But, like, you know, what am
it's
I supposed to
fault.
Go out there and clean up the ring after my match?
No, like, God, no. And, like, I tried to my best ability. Like, I came back from the match, and they're like, "Oh, the mat's all greasy. Like, do something about it." And I'm like, "But okay, but think maybe plan for this to happen." So we went and got some paper towels and wet them and tried to wipe down the ring, but I'm thinking, oh my God, if I wet them, it's going to be just as bad. Now it's going to be wet and greasy. So
yeah.
I remember I had a match with Marky and somebody else later in that night, and Marky came in, came up on the ropes, addressed the audience, came down, was walking over to me. He's like, "Holy shit, these floors are slippery. Oh my God. Like, what are we going to do?" I'm like, "No, we'll be like," he's like, "No, we'll be fine. But, like, this is greasy as shit. Like, why did they do that pole match?" And it's not your fault. I think the match itself works for what was going on. It just was unfortunate with the card placement and the grease.
It was definitely not something, like, no, I don't think, like, I definitely didn't consider beforehand that it might grease up the ring. In fact, there is a spot during the match where Squig sprays me with mustard and ketchup.
Yes.
And I suggested that. I'm not trying to kill the magic, but I suggested that. But I made sure to say, do it on the outside of the ring so that you don't squirt mustard and ketchup all over the fucking ring mat.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse my language. And
No, all good.
Yeah, but, like, the grease of the burger was never, like, even considered. And that's short-sightedness on everyone involves part, and I don't know.
You know what, though? I will say that, like, I just wish there was a bigger build to it. Like, I thought that burger, like, the Baconator on a pole match, like, could have been really great for your storyline if it just, like, had a bigger build. And we thought about the grease. But that's okay. Sometimes you just got to do something insert here on a pole match and not complain too much, because, I mean, I'd rather do a Baconator on a pole match than a dick-in-my-mouth match.
Yeah, and I mean, I knew that me and Squig were going to have to wrestle as part of the storyline, and so, like, when I suggested it, my idea was that, you know, me and Squig are not exactly Chris Benoit and Kurt Angle, and, like,
sure.
We've had singles matches in the past, so it's like, well, what can we do to, like, you know, add some flair to this, you know?
Yeah.
Make it, you know, a little bit of, like, smoke and mirrors or whatever, but... So just to try and, like, at least if it's not going to be, like, good as a wrestling match, it'll still be entertaining.
Yes.
And,
yes.
And I think we pulled that off.
Totally.
Yeah.
I think it was an entertaining match for sure. I enjoyed refereeing it.
What would you consider the top three matches that you've refereed? Like just ones where
were
like, holy shit, I'm glad I was a part of that.
Okay. That's hard because like I feel really blessed to have been a part of a lot of really good matches. All considering how long I've been in the business for. There's two or three that always stand out for me as like my favorite matches I've ref'd, and I think like the best matches overall. So one of them was last year on Clandestine, Act One was actually the Mike Lowe and Richard Clark match, against Son of Irish.
Oh,
and that
okay.
was, I really enjoyed that match. That was the, only non gimmicky match I had in the evening. Cause I also had, Imitation Game match as well.
Yeah.
Where I refereed as Mike Chioda. But doing the Michael and Richard Clark and Son of Irish match was really great because I've worked with Son of Irish in his early careers back in Monster Pro Wrestling quite a bit in training. So he was probably my most consistent training partner in the sense that it was like, watch these big guys throw around Son of Irish and I get to ref it. So I got to kind of experience him grow from his first few matches in Monster Pro to working a big name in a big show. So I think like that was just really made me happy for the guy. And I'm so familiar with him. It was a piece of cake. I felt like I was totally on my game and the calls all seemed pretty good. Nothing went wrong. That's a big highlight. Like that's my, oh, look, I referee, watch this match that I usually show people. Another one I have of that is an MPW match. It was Rugged Rich King versus Mitch Clark. And it was, in October of 2019 for the heavyweight title. And that was also a really good match. We'd just been on tour doing the Hinton, Lloydminster, Bonneville stints. And they had a bunch of like a series throughout that. And they wrestled a couple times. So they booked the event for Edmonton. And I think it went off the best there. I was really happy about that one. You haven't watched too much Monster Pro in your day, have you, Kyle?
Not really. I've been to a couple of their live shows. I've always enjoyed myself, you know. I like MPW. I'm not going to, you know, crap on them or anything. I mean, it's clear that by watching some of their shows that a lot of their guys are training there and like some of them are quite new.
But that's also a pretty consistent thing with Monster Pro Wrestling to be honest, from what I've experienced, is you usually have and it depends on the time, like the year, let's say, but they usually have like a decent amount of veterans and then a lot of trainee guys and trainee people who range from 1 month in the business to wrestling for 5 years on the card. So there's stretch where
all
it's
their
not
trainee
like
guys are all really hungry and whatnot too.
Very so driven, like, very driven.
Yeah,
and they're rewarded for that there too.
There's not like I say, it's fun and you can tell sometimes that some of the people are green, but it's not like they're just putting out a bunch of like schlubs or anything.
No, and that's one thing I always really do accredit Monster Pro for is that even if some guys do wrestle maybe before they're capable of their best matches. I still think that they do come in to the wrestling scene with good fundamentals, and they usually, well, I'd say 99% of the time, put in a lot of work into their structure of how they work their matches and how much effort they put into learning the moves. I think like they really do not get enough credit for how much work the new guys in that promotion have to do just to even be on the card.
Yeah.
And that's something I've experienced a lot throughout the years of seeing so many waves of mini camps of people who will come through, grow to huge potential, and then either leave the promotion or they stay their tenure. I mean, a good example of somebody who I've seen completely grow through the business is T.Y. Jackson. So I was in the business, maybe I keep saying the business, like, geez. It started in the wrestling scene out here. About 6 months into my start of reffing in Monster Pro, and I've watched him change from just being at the training center to being under mask to being the provincial champion. And it's like a lot of these people, why I still have such an attachment to Monster Pro, I think, is a lot of these people were my really close friends.
Yeah.
So just being able to watch these people grow through the business, through that promotion, it's really cool. You grow lots of really great friendships that way.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, having inexperienced folks on the show isn't exclusive to Monster Pro. Like, that's happened in RCW and BEW and stuff.
BEW.
Yeah. I don't really want to talk about it.
You don't have to talk about it. I was just saying that I'm just really happy that there's events going on in Red Deer, Alberta again. I think that's one of the best wrestling communities in Alberta, and it's a shame that there aren't shows there more regularly. Like, I mean, obviously now there can't really be,
favorite. I would love to talk about BEW.
Your experience is different.
That was just not a great night for me. The rest of that show was highly, highly entertaining.
Yeah, I really had a great time at that show. I got to give somebody a Stone Cold Stunner at that show.
Did you?
Yeah. I was refereeing a Fatal 4-Way match with Mitch Clark, Lumberjack Larry, Rich King, and headline Sean Martins. And he was mouthing off at everybody before the match. And he, like, right before I rang the bell, he's, like, giving me shit. And he's, like, yelling at everybody. So, who was it? I think Larry gave him a stunner. And then everybody hit one. And he's, like, not going down. And they're, like, pointing at me, like, Ben, do the stunner. I'm, like, I can't. I'm impartial. I'm a referee. They're, like, do the stunner. And then the fans got in on it. And they were all chanting for me to do the stunner. So I was weak. And I gave in. And I gave that man a stunner.
That's fantastic. Anyway, I'm very happy that there is action going on in Red Deer, whether it be BEW putting it on or RCW or CWE. I'm glad because, like, I lived in Red Deer for a long time, and it did seem pretty sparse out there, but it seems like at least recently it's starting to percolate again out in Red Deer, and
absolutely.
Hopefully once the restrictions are gone, the show that was canceled will...
Oh, the AWA RCW show. Yeah,
hopefully that ends up getting postponed and rescheduled.
The nice thing about Red Deer, though, is like they've had such luck, and I don't know, not luck, because they've worked really hard for what's been accomplished in the wrestling scene there, but they've had such success with some of the promotions that run there. I mean, CNWA back in 2012, 13 was running like a pretty consistent show there for a while. Did you ever go to any of those ones?
Is that Vance Nevada's promotion?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I went to one at the... you know where they have the arena in Red Deer?
Yeah, Westerner Park.
Yeah, okay. Well, it wasn't at the arena. It was in like a hall building inside the same building or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I remember going to see that. I remember Stormbringer was a big part of that show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he like came out and did a run-in. And I actually, like, just out of happenstance, I went to that show to enjoy it as a fan. This was a number of years ago. And I sat right beside Derek Law, and me and him became buddies because we were talking about all the wrestling that was going on. And then later on, after he was a referee and I was kind of involved as a ring announcer, I was like, wait, Derek Law, that's the dude I sat next to at the show. And he was popping so hard for Stormbringer. I had no idea who Stormbringer was, but Derek Law was an absolute, like, he was, I think he was, yeah, he was going nuts.
Derek Law is like a super fan / super ref in Alberta. I love Derek Law. My first CWE show I ever did in Red Deer, he was refereeing as well. He was a consistent there, and I got brought in to cover somebody. And he was just like so helpful with like getting to like asking like, what is this guy like in the ring? What does this person do? He was very helpful with that kind of info, and just like a really easy person to work with. Like, I really wish I did see him refereeing more. He did his last show, I guess, before just recently coming out of retirement. He did his last show with CWC in 2018, and I wish I could have been there for it, but he's always been such a good friend in wrestling. So I just can't say enough good things about Derek Law.
Yeah,
so,
he seems book like Derek a really Law. 100%. Honky Tonk Man was in the main event on that show too.
Really?
Yes. And Rick Titan was there to make like a uplifting speech.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I remember all these things. I Vance Nevada, I believe, was on the show. He might be the guy that Stormbringer attacked. Okay. It's hard to remember all the details, but it, yeah.
Oh, sure.
I went to one of those shows for sure in Red Deer. You know what was a really odd show that I went to in Red Deer once? It was in Springbrook, and it was called XWE. Okay. It was in Springbrook, and it was the XWE, and it was like kind of like before CWC became a thing.
Okay.
They were XWE. It was run by a different fella, a different guy, and
XWE.
Yeah, the ring posts were made of wood on the ring that they were using.
What the?
Yeah. It was very like at that time. Like, I'm not trying to insult anyone, but I think the consensus was that it was kind of like backyard league or whatever.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Like, even I showed up, and when I found out it was happening in Springbrook where I was living, like, I lived in Springbrook, so it was like a 10-minute walk for me to get to this place. So, like, when I found out they were doing wrestling there, like, I was like, yeah, I can help out or whatever, because I used to help in Victoria and do, like, music.
Oh, for Vancouver Island Pro Wrestling?
I did some for Vancouver Island Pro, and I did some for VCW, which was Victoria City Wrestling in, like, 2005.
Oh, wow.
I was like, yeah, that's where I did my first ever, like, interview and stuff. But I more so just helped set up the ring and put up posters around the city. And
sure. But, I mean, that's a great help to any promotion, is to have somebody who's willing to, like, do that kind of work. I know how hard it can be to get people to be able to help with, like, postering and the hard work and setting up the ring. It's, like, it's always nice to have somebody from,
yeah,
you know, outside the talent helping with that. And it's a good way to put your foot in the door if you ever want to get involved with the scene, is like, be willing to help set up ring crew if you're not involved. Like, it'll
100%
you'll gain some, like, connections.
That's how I got involved in RCW too, was I just sent a message to Squig and said I can help with all this stuff if you'd like, and I showed up and you said, yeah, can you do the music tonight? And yeah, anyway, but like this XWE show, like, even after the show, I went to tell the guy, oh, I can help you out. Like, maybe I can do some work for your website or help with, you know, some of this stuff. And he's like, oh, can you wrestle? And I was like, well, no. I mean, I did like one afternoon of training in Victoria. Like, and, you know, I wasn't good. But he's like, well, can you backyard your way through it? I was like, oh, well, I mean, maybe we could do a bad comedy match. Like,
can you backyard your way through it? Like, that's a dead giveaway. It
was,
don't
that's basically
that
what was being said here, because like, he was making it clear that I didn't need any experience, like official, like, training. He was just like, oh, like, have you done backyard wrestling? You know, like, this was not Dylan Stone. This was the guy that ran it him. But I remember Dylan Stone was on the card, and I'm pretty sure Xander Price was on the card, and maybe even like Sean Martins. And it was the fella that ran the company. It was like they were doing a tribute to his brother who had died or something that night.
Oh.
But it was very touching to be tribute to be held in front of, like, you know, 15 people in Springbrook.
Right.
Like, with the wooden ring posts, and the guy that there was a commentator who was the ring announcer, but during the matches he sat down, or he would walk around the building and do commentary on the microphone.
What the fuck?
Yeah, during the matches. At
I
one
hate
point
that.
He came and he sat down beside me and he started sticking the microphone and we started doing commentary together. I was a paying fan.
That's awesome.
He's like, who do you think's going to win in this one, fella? And I'm just like, I don't know. Not the guy in the pink. You know? Like, yeah. But
That's awesome.
It's a great memory. Yeah. So, like,
oh, sure.
I love all that kind of, like, wrestling where it's like, you could tell this is just being put on by people that love wrestling and, you know.
Yep. And I think Red Deer has, like, I mean, yes, they've had some of that XWE stuff there, but they're just one of those towns that I find always just has, like, some good, consistent, entertaining wrestling, and they've always got good talent coming in that town, too, just because nobody really runs there consistently,
yeah,
so there's no real restriction.
I'm not trying to highlight, like, you know, a bad professional wrestling you know, backyard. Like, I'm not trying to highlight that. I'm just saying that I can find that entertaining, but without doubt, like, the shows that I've been on, the most, the ones that are the most fun and the ones that are like the best are the real professionally put together ones where, like, you know who you're wrestling when you show up, and
you know
there's going to be a big crowd there and everything is going to be organized well. Like, that's always like.
Oh, that's like the wrestling worker's dream, is to be able to come into a town that has a good following. You're going to work the person you were told you're going to work, and the things are going to go to plan. And I mean, unfortunately, it doesn't always work that way in wrestling in this area. Not, I mean, I think in any area, really, any level of indie wrestling is going to have its like flex room. It's not like you're getting your guarantee pays, but it is nice to walk into a building and know exactly what you're doing before you get there, and it stays the same, and you get paid the same, and you get to go home at the same time. And honestly, that's why, and I beat this dead horse every time I have an interview here, but that's what I loved about CWC, is it felt like, and I mean, I was there at the very end of the run, right before they merged with Real Canadian Wrestling. So I was experiencing, like, you know, 5 to 6 match cards with like the same people advertised from 3 weeks prior, and like the houses were always full. Like, I remember doing a show there and there was literally like 450 people. Like, it was packed. And like, that doesn't sound huge to some promotions, but in Red Deer, that's huge. Like, and it wasn't like the super show of the year. It was like a few shows before, and like being able to draw that consistently and that big, I loved working for how professional it came across, at least to me.
Nor is you or I trying to say that, like, it's unprofessional the way it is now. Like, I mean, it's just like, ideally there would be, you know, you would have an idea, like, you know, like, don't get me wrong, not everyone needs to know who they're wrestling, but like, there should be a couple of matches that are like advertised beforehand, and then, you know, maybe the other people are kind of, you know, given like the heads up like a day or two before. That would be ideal, but like, I do understand what you're saying. There's a lot of variables and reasons why that's not always possible, but like, we're not trying to complain. At least I can speak for myself. I'm happy to be allowed to wrestle.
Oh, 100%. I just love being able to be involved in the wrestling scene in any way, like as a fan or as a worker. I just love being, it gets my happy place.
And it's like it's a community of people too. Like,
yes, it is.
I spend the only person I spend more time with than the folks at wrestling is like the people I live with.
Yes.
And
yeah, I would agree with that. It's a huge, for me, it's, even while all this Rona stuff is going on, it's really been my only outing other than work has been to do those shows with Real Canadian Wrestling. And I don't know. It's just like I just can't seem to give it up. I love it so much.
Well, we're looking forward to more of it in the future, for sure. Don't get me wrong, with the restrictions right now, it is important that everybody stays safe and we follow the guidelines and whatnot. But once those restrictions are loosened, and I've been hearing a lot about a vaccine coming soon, so once everything is back and good to go, it's going to be wonderful again. I can't wait to be able to go wrestle in the Calgary Legion in front of 450 like crazy screaming fans. Like, we got a big name, like when we had the Godfather in or whatever, like that.
Oh, I saw some of the video of the house there. It was huge. Oh. I was shocked.
I was in a 5-way scramble match that night, and I threw a couple of headbutts. And that's when I decided, that night was when I decided that the headbutts were going to stay in the repertoire and be like a regular thing. Because, like, it was that. That was awesome. So yeah. I can't wait for many more experiences like that. And, like, you know, being up in Boyle in front of those 350 screaming kids, like, that's what I'm living for. And
exactly, man, like, there's when things go back to normal, which I choose to believe they will, when they go back to normal, that's a big goal of mine that I have in wrestling, is to do more shows. I used to I work in jobs that typically I'm working weekends, so it's hard to make every single weekend work, but I really want to work towards being able to do a show once a week and being able to make Calgary and see some, like, I've never worked in Lethbridge. I've never worked with Pure Power Wrestling. I'd love to go down there and do some stints in Lethbridge.
Yeah.
Or to work an RCW Calgary show, or to work a PWA Calgary show, or to work a whoever Calgary show. Like, there's just, I feel like now that it's missing in my life, I'm like driven to do more with it.
100%, brother, for sure. Like, it's the greatest thing in the world. Let's wrap this up with your social media plugs and whatnot.
Sure. I don't have a Facebook one at the moment. I probably should get some social media set up for my referee persona. I do have Instagram, so it's under Omen Boone. So that's OOMENBOON. So that's my wrestling account there. Anything to do with questions or concerns or bookings, you can go through there to contact me.
Instagram?
Otherwise, yes, on Instagram.
Okay.
Otherwise, you can catch me at Real Canadian Wrestling whenever they are back, whenever they come back from the lockdown. And you'll see me whenever Saskatchewan reopens over in Prairie Pro Wrestling out in Saskatoon. You'll see me at wrestling. If you don't see me there, you'll see me in the fan base at any of the local shows.
Yep, and if you are a promoter and you're looking to put on a match involving a pole,
or, I'm your guy, man.
If you want to book Ben to do some work involving dildos,
you can call a different Ben.
Talk to him over the Instagram there. Maybe you need to get Snapchat.
Oh, getting OnlyFans for all of my pole matches.
Yeah, there you go.
Jeez.
Anyway, buddy, I'm going to just say thank you very much for coming on the show again. And I'm hoping very much, like, I haven't talked to anyone else, but I'm hoping that you're going to be the first in a series of referee interviews, which that was totally your idea, and I just tried to make it sound like it was mine. But
no, I'm just happy to get some coverage on some referees. There's just so many guys and girls in this area who referee and just don't get to share their stories enough. So I hope to hear from some people as well.
Yeah, 100%. We're all about stories here, and like, not, it's not just the wrestlers that have stories. Like, I've had people that are managers on the show and stuff before, but I even had my cousin on here once. Just
really,
he's just a fan, and we just like, we watched some wrestling matches and then talked about them. But
oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it was a good time. Shout out to my family out in BC. Anyway, thank you very much, Ben, for coming on the show. And look forward to more interviews with referees coming in the near future.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Shaw. Yeah.
Thank you, bud. Nova Scotia and New Brunswick, Quebec and Newfoundland.